In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't the landowner marvelous? He was a generous man. After all, he was not stingy with his workers, as some would count stinginess. Those whom he hired, he paid a day's wage. Honest pay for honest work. And it doesn't even matter when he hired you. If you worked for him at all that day, he gave you a day's wage. The workers are something to marvel at, too. The landowner paid those hired last first. They must have been grateful to receive such riches from the master, and perhaps a little surprised to receive so much pay for their short day's work. But the master called that pay right, you might recall. So also those hired earlier, and those earlier still, and those earlier still, each received a day's wage for the day's work. But with each earlier group hired, the grumblings grew louder and louder until those hired first complained against the landowner. Why did they complain? Well, despite the agreed-upon wage, they supposed they would receive more than the first group that was paid. It must have been a sight for them to see the earlier and earlier groups being paid the same thing, only to come to their turn and arrogantly expect something more for the full day's work. It's not fair. Again, you can marvel at the landowner. Despite their complaint, the workers were still paid. Nowhere did the landowner comment on their worth or value because of their complaint. He still paid them all the same. He did not deny their wage for their complaint. They still each got a day's wage for their day's work. The landowner told them, "Take what is yours and go your way." How much is God like the landowner? He shows no partiality to those he calls his own. They each receive from his hand the same grace, and grace for grace, for they are each equally redeemed and saved by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Everyone has received the same payment for that redemption, not gold or silver, but his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. This is true no matter when anyone has come to faith, be it early or later in the ages, or early or later in life. Furthermore, despite the grumblings of his people, like the landowner, God does not withhold his grace. See the Israelites at Meribah and Amasa and Meribah. You can probably even relate with your own experiences and lives. Something doesn't go your way. You suffer some tragedy or loss. Your team doesn't win the big game. Whatever it is, be it as banal as a sporting event or even as life-shattering as a health diagnosis or loss of a loved one, you complain to God. Maybe those complaints are valid. More often, they probably aren't. And even in your complaints to him and against him, even because of them, he draws you here to receive his word of forgiveness, life, and salvation, to taste and see that the Lord is good. For like the workers, you tend to judge God and his works towards you, what happens in your life, based on some sense of fairness. You've lived your whole life in his grace, or more to your thinking, you've lived your entire life as his follower. So it's not fair that you receive the bad news, the dreaded diagnosis, that you should lose a loved one, and so on. It's not fair. It's not fair that the first are last, and the last are first. But why is it this way? Well, perhaps the first hired are harder workers. They can work harder, therefore they can work longer. how gracious and merciful the landowner is then that he hires appropriate workers for the labor to be done. Consequently, it's also expected that they would be more patient of the workers, the more patient of the workers too. This is borne out in the parable as they do wait until last to receive their pay. But that's not exactly the point of the first being last and the last first. Perhaps the first hired are hardier workers. That is to say, perhaps they're able to endure much more than those hired last. These are the ones who can more easily bear the painful diagnosis or loss. Not that any such thing is by any means easy to bear. Once again, that those able to stand up under these things are hired first shows the grace and mercy of the landowner. This would also make for an exercise in patience and character. Again, though, that's not exactly the point of the first being last and the last first. The point is a reversal of the expected. The way things are supposed to work is that those who are hired first are supposed to be paid first. But in the equal standing that all of the sons of God have before him, that's not the way that he works. He pays the last first and the first last, but not as first and last is understood. For when Jesus returns on the clouds, those who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise first, right? They will rise out of their graves. Then everyone who is in Christ will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The point of the reversal is to prove the point that the first and last are all alike covered in the same blood of Christ. The when doesn't matter, and that what, but the what does, and that what is Jesus Christ, his innocent suffering and death, and the blood of his propitiation. The wages of sin is death, St. Paul wrote. The wages of faith is the free gift of which he also wrote, eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. For that faith is also a gift. It is the gift which seeks to be put to work in the vineyard because the owner of that vineyard is the gracious Father in heaven. It is a gift wrought by the blood of Christ on the cross, which also receives everything that was wrought by the blood of Christ on the cross, namely forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So, dear hearers, rejoice that you have been hired by the landowner. That is to say, you have been given faith in his Son, trusting in his work for your redemption. Rejoice that you receive the wages for your hire, for your faith, your salvation, eternal life, the forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.